Check, check. Mic check.
Fly racing.
Moto 60 Show.
Presented by Maxxis Tires, 100% goggles, decal works, Get Data, and Vertex Piston.
On PulpMX.com, taking your calls and looking ahead to the races with your host, Steve Mathis.
Yeah, welcome everybody. It's an early edition of the Fly Racing Moto 60 Show because I got a flight to catch. Headed to Indy this weekend, round 10 of 17. Yeah, where did the time go? And we got lots to talk about today on the Fly Racing Moto 60 Show. 702-586-7857. Give us a call. You want to talk some Indy Triple Crown this weekend? MXGP? Yeah, whatever. Even street bike racing. I don't know anything about it, but I'll let you ramble on. 702-586-7857. Fly Racing Moto 60. 25 years of Fly, everybody. Whether it's Dean Wilson, RJ Hampshire, Max Anstey, or more, we're in Fly Racing out there. Thanks to those guys for everything that they do. They got you covered head to toe, boots, gear, goggles, helmet, gloves, protection gear, mountain bike stuff as well. FlyRacing.com, get at your local dealer, or motorsport.com as well. At Fly Racing USA on social media, follow that. They got some cool stuff going on as well, as always. And they got a presence at the Supercross races as well. So go stop in and see what's up with the guys at Fly Racing. Thank you to those guys. Zach Osborne, Dan Truman on the show today to talk Indy Triple Crown and more. Maybe throw some Pulp Fantasy talk in there as well. I want to thank the sponsors of the show, 100% Decal Works, Get, Maxxis, Seat Concepts, Zools, Vertex, Plum Creek Funding, all on board with us. And Decal Works, man, love these guys. I've got a bunch of your listeners sending me some of the discounts that they get from Decal Works and some of the Pulp logos that they put on the bikes. Decal Works is great, guys. And Pulp24 is the code to save at decalmx.com. Official graphics of the Red Bull KTM guys. So speaking of Chase Sexton and Aaron Plessinger, which we will be on today's show. Thanks to the folks at Decal MX for all that they do. Really appreciate that. Zach Osborne, Dan Truman coming up as well. Maxxis Tires, MXSTs available. They got the new soft intermediate to hard terrain tires. The PRMX guys, the Mad Parts Kawasaki guys are using Maxxis in Supercross, and they're putting it in the main events. So thank you to the folks at Maxxis.com. Great mountain bike tires as well, like truck tires and the trailer tires and such. So if you haven't thought about Maxxis in a while for a tire, we'll do that. 702-586-7857. We still have some lines opened. Taking your calls over there, working the video as well. The Travis Marks. Marks, what's up?
I'm doing the video and what else?
The phones.
Yeah, I'm doing it all.
So.
Mm-hmm. Am I yelling into this mic again? Or
no, you're fine.
Okay, good.
But I don't understand.
What's to understand?
Did I get scammed?
You might have.
Did I get scammed? Probably. Am I the sucker who paid you and Tits for all Supercross to work phones and video, and literally it seems like it's every other week for you guys?
I think you just said, you know, this is for the job to get done, and the jobs are getting done. You didn't specify how they had to be done, so you should probably be a little more careful.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So you guys are essentially on halftime.
Well, we're splitting our duties for sure.
And do you guys have a secret arrangement to cut for the other guy to cover it?
That I cannot confirm nor deny.
Unbelievable. All right, let's get Zach on the line. This is so Marks is running the video and the phones. Last week, Tits ran the video and the phones. I think the week before, Marks ran the video and the phones. And then the week before that, I think Tits ran the video and the phones. So that's where we're at, everybody. I got full-time salaries, part-time workers here at PulpMX.com. We will talk to the HR department at some time and try to get it straight. All right, Tom Vial, two wins in a row for 250 class. I'm going to start with 250 class for Zacho because it's interesting to see Tom Vial's wins. Obviously, we know the mud track was in Birmingham, and it didn't quite work out that way, but no whoops. We had waves. Daytona is a whole other different animal, and Vial is two for two of the last two. So I'm more leaning like this is legit, and we're going to have whoops this weekend in Indy, but I don't care. Vial will be really good with this confidence, and I watched him pull away from Cameron McAdoo in Birmingham. And, yeah, I think JT's a little less sold on it, but I do want to get Zacho's opinion on it as well. 702-586-7857. We got some lines open still. So we'll talk about Vial. We will talk about the 250 East and more with Zacho to start, because I think that right now with the Aussie kid ripping off two in a row, that might be the place to start. So let's get right into it on the Fly Race and Moto 60 show. It's Zach Osborne. What's up, Zacho?
Cruising along, Steven. What about you?
How's the comeback coming? What are we any closer? What are we doing? What's happening?
Well, now I have six broken ribs, so it's not an ideal situation.
Oh, what happened? Oh, no.
Yeah, got whacked by a bike at Day in the Dirt.
Oh, I didn't hear this. I did not know this. I heard Marv crash too or something, but...
Yeah, Marv, I think, crashed on his own and maybe tweaked his knee or something. I was behind Josh Grant in a team race, and he kind of pushed the front, and when he did, the bike flipped up and just drilled me in stomach and ribs. So I got six broken ribs.
Did you have a chest pro on?
No.
Okay. Six broken ribs. Oh, wow. Jesus, Zacho. That's got to suck. How's it been sleeping?
You know what? I've had a couple broken ribs before, but this is like the bottom six kind of behind my arm.
Okay.
And it just feels like they're flapping. There's nothing, you know, like if you break some up in the top, there's like bone around it and muscle around it. But these are just like, I don't know, feels like I got wings in there. So it's not been great. But I'm up and getting around and cleaned my shop today.
Okay. So you're all right. You're
doing
getting
better.
Josh Grant's bike taking you out. I can make a lot of jokes about this somewhere, but
thanks.
Well, I thought at least it's not Joe Dog hitting you with a bat or something. You know.
Well, he may.
Yeah.
Later.
All right. Let's talk Indy Triple Crown. I know we've had.
I didn't realize it was a Triple Crown until last night. I read it on Twitter. I'm happy about that.
Right. So this Vial guy. Let's start 250s right now. Two in a row. Convincingly at that, and JT and I were disagreeing a little bit on the review show. He wants to see Vial with whoops and you know, like a real quote-unquote supercross track, because Birmingham was pretty tame because of the mud. I just think, like, with you nut job riders, and you're one of them, Zacho, confidence is everything, and this kid's got it figured out, and I'm not saying gonna win the title, but I don't care. He's a force. Where do you stand with this?
Yeah, I'm there too. I'm a little bit concerned about the whoop thing, but especially this weekend in Indy. I mean, notoriously, you jump at Indy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he's got that skill in his bag.
Yeah.
Being at Mars helping him. I don't see anything stopping him from going three in a row. And if that happens, it's pretty big.
Yeah. No, Daytona and Birmingham were its own, you know, weirdo things. But, dude, confidence and speed is there. And, I mean, McAdoo's right on him. So.
What did he get at Arlington? Third, right?
I don't know. I'd have to go back. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he got third at Arlington.
Yeah. And then, of course, round one, we all saw what happened. So, 3-1-1, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, I think this thing's for real. Hey, by the way, Villeman was in on Monday and brought up a great point. Can you imagine if there were nine whoops in Marv's prime where he could just go 3-3-3?
Yeah, it's over.
That's what DV said. It's over for Marv. He's got titles and wins and, you know, all of that. So,
yeah.
All right, so you're a believer in Vial.
I'm a believer, sure. I think he's as capable as anyone of winning this championship at this point. The Ansi train is derailed.
Yeah.
I think that he has championship experience. He's just a solid guy. You know, he's nothing flashy. Doesn't have, like, you know, all the other stuff. But man, he's just a solid rider, good starter.
Yep.
He's probably just as capable as anyone at this point.
Okay, so let's start with the Deegan drama. He hasn't been the same guy speed-wise, and that's been a bit of an issue, but he does have a win. So that, to me, when people say, oh, his wrist, I'm like, okay, sure, but he's got a win. So
yeah,
I'm kind of that. But let's go with the first turn to the pit confrontation to shock, right, to cutting the track, wait, to first, shock.
First, the first turn thing, we got to back up to Vince because okay. It was kill Vince. Vince is an idiot, blah, 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 to what was Hammaker thinking. And it's nearly the identical scenario, in my opinion.
I was not on the train of kill Vince. I was like, that's fine.
No, I know. I was with you, if you remember our,
yeah.
The first show.
Yeah.
But, like, because it's not Vince, the tables have turned. And, you know, I'm, like I said in that episode, like, I'm not pro-Vince, but Vince gets the blame for a lot of things that maybe are mm-hmm. half his fault, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Here's the point, though, where I do differentiate a little bit. Vince, you know, basically just kept going. And, you know, Hunter was the one who paid the price, and Vince got the start and kept going and was maybe he was a little, you know, 0.1 second affected. To me, Deegan didn't have this because literally Hammaker's front wheel was in his rear tire. So,
yeah.
You know, he doesn't have it.
Yeah, but also Hammaker, I saw, like, dips his shoulder to go under Binnick.
Yep,
Binnick,
yep.
And that's why he met him at the foot peg instead of at the rear axle,
mm-hmm.
Which changes the crash scenario.
Yep.
So this one's a little bit 50-50, I would say.
I put it at 85-15 Deegan's fault. But sure, 50-50, 60-40, all of it. Yeah, I accept
okay.
that. Yeah. Okay, right. Carry on.
Then, the little bike flick or whatever you want to call that.
Yep.
Lame. Don't do that stuff.
Right.
I mean, he's going to have to learn that he's quickly going to become the heel. If that's the approach, you know?
Yep. Okay. Carry on. Cutting the track.
Yeah.
Two position.
I don't know.
Okay.
No idea. especially wide open, like, yeah. You know. And, I don't get it.
And out of all of it, I'm fine with the shock pass.
Yeah, I mean, of all the things, that's probably the least of these, in my opinion.
Right. It's just like
Which
like you
sucks,
said.
Because,
look,
Shock had such a solid night going.
Yeah.
That ended with a broken collarbone,
yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, I mean, it's a last corner pass. Like, you got to go for it.
And it wasn't a T-bone. I'm not down for T-bones.
No, it was like a side-on hit,
yeah.
You know?
Right.
Which sent Shock to the right, which happens, and it was, you know, ruddy, so he probably caught some of that, and
yeah.
Maybe whiskeyed a little bit, whatever. Like, it's a last corner pass, you go for that. But the other stuff, just a bad look, the going to PC pits, like, mm-hmm. Come on, guys.
I feel like, knowing the Deegans, there won't be a lot of, like, contrition. There will be just doubling down on this.
Yeah.
I don't know. You tell me. I feel like it's gonna just be the same. They're DGAF.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I agree. I hate to see that. I hate to say that, but I agree.
Yeah.
I you know, he's young, he's gonna make mistakes, but you're quickly gonna lose that huge momentum of following
mm-hmm.
doing this kind of things, you know. Maybe not to the YouTubers, but definitely to the purists.
Yeah. No, he got booed. He got booed in Birmingham.
Yeah.
No doubt. And it can be a learning lesson. Like, look, yeah, it can be a learning lesson, right? He's a kid, he's young, all of that. But yeah, man, it was interesting for sure. He got the full range of everything that happened there. And you know, goes back to Detroit where he's flipping Vial off and Vial had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, that was already that just kind of set the tone for the whole thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's keep talking. Well, you know, we got a call for you about Deegan, so let's keep it rolling here. Jake, welcome to the Fly Racing Moto 60 show. What's your question for Zacho?
What's up, guys? Hey, I was watching the race, and I saw Deegan start on the outside and then, you know, come in to the inside. And it reminded me of Zacho that time that I think it was a national. And you were on the inside, and Zavacci came across everybody, and I think you got hurt, ruined your season. But don't you think the other 10 maniacs on the inside aren't just going to slow down because he decides to cut across them?
Yeah,
way that this was Hammaker's fault.
I mean,
you can't just suddenly stop and turn because that guy cuts in front of you.
but it just reminded me of when,
but I think, but I think
let's echo answer. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry.
One thing that people really, really, really underestimate is the field of vision that a guy has on a start like that. And I'm not saying that Hamaker had plenty of time, but he would have seen him. I mean, Deegan was out there, right? Like, he had a pretty banging start. So Hamaker would have seen him pretty quick. And the little dip to go under and around Binnick is what kind of tips a little bit of it on Hamaker for me. But, okay. I mean, like, going back to the Hunter Vince thing, Vince was 10 feet ahead of everyone out of the gate. You know what I mean? Like, everyone can see that. And as a guy who races, you know, as soon as you get across the gate, you can kind of, like, see in your peripheral that no one's there. So, like, it's like, free, you know, whatever. Do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. So was that right? It was like you got hurt in the first turn one year. I mean, you were doing great. Was it Savacci that came, like, across you from the outside?
Yeah.
Did you see him coming?
That was at Thunder Valley 2018. I did not see him coming because he was behind me.
Okay.
But, like, if you rewatch the start, the whole pack kind of turns a little bit left. Like, I think I was, like, middle way across the inside of the gate, so, like, gate 12 or 13. And the whole pack kind of turns a little bit left, and he's got a good start from the outside. You know, he would have probably been top five had we made it to the corner. But he hit me, like, under my armpit, you know, like he hit me in the side, whereas these other incidents are like people hitting people in the swing arm.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah. Thanks, Jake.
No,
thanks
for
the call.
It just reminded me of the same situation. I didn't know if – so I remember I was kind of disappointed because you were having a good season and then looked like through no fault of your own, guy cuts across and boom, like this didn't – you would think a pro would know that these guys are going to be coming hard up the inside. They're not just going to shut down.
That's why I think, Jake, you cannot, no matter what, put 100% of this on Hamaker or 100% of this on Deegan. It is somewhat of a racing incident, you know, and anybody who yells at both of these guys saying it's their fault, I think is way off base. They both deserve some blame for what happened, but then Deegan can't control his emotions, right? So,
yeah, exactly. That's typical. The biggest thing for me is, like, you know, Hamaker got up, picked his bike up after Deegan threw it the other way, never said anything. You know, he took a freaking shot, too. Like, his head hit the ground hard two times, like, bam, bam, and went back to the pit and just did the job. You know, that's the difference for me.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, have a good one, guys.
Great. Thanks. Appreciate it. Zach Osborne here. Taylor's on one. What's up, Taylor?
Hey, man, so I got a fun fact on Creed. I don't know if you knew this, but Creed and Seven Deuce Deuce have the same song called One Last Breath.
No, I didn't know that. Okay, good to know. Yep.
Anyway, I just like both those songs. I thought you might like that.
I'm going to Creed in September. I got tickets, so I can't wait.
Oh, I haven't looked at their schedule.
Yeah, I mean, I got to go to Sacramento. That's how much I'm flying to Sacramento. So, all right.
Like you don't do enough traveling.
I know, but it's Creed, dude. It's Creed.
I know. I need to go there.
Okay. All right.
Hey, and then I got a question on Star Yamaha. So I remember listening to your show last year, and it seemed like they were saying they didn't have in the budget to have Justin Cooper full time. So, and I don't know if I missed it, but, you know, this year he's full time, and they got Webb, Tomac. So I'm like, well, what am I missing here? It seems like they have way more expense this year, and I don't know.
They just added Mosman. I think, honestly, that shit is just the goalpost move. They tell you what they need. I have to tell you to make it make sense, but if something comes along, all of a sudden they got budget, right? Like, I think it's like everything in life. Like, things change, right? Budgets change, things change, sponsorships change. All of that stuff. I'm with you. I thought Jay Coop riding a limited 450 Supercross schedule was ridiculous, but, I mean, it doesn't seem to have hurt him. He's fine. Now they picked up Mosman.
I thought it was great, to be fair.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Thanks for the call, Taylor. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a pair of 100% goggles to give away and a Fly Racing 5 pivot knee guard as well. What about the Mosman signing? Zacho, does he have anything left? I mean, 2 years ago, he's challenging Hunter for the title, has a horrific 2023, and now he's, you know, he had a back problem, but I guess that's fixed, and he's on Star now.
Yeah, curious case. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Been teammates with him a few years. Fantastic rider. has tons of skills, tons of talent.
Mm-hmm.
I realistically feel like he can still win races. You know, it was only like a year and two years ago, I guess. He was winning races. So, I mean,
I guess
if sure there's something there, but
I was really surprised, Zacho. It's a multi-year deal.
I read that, but I don't know about that.
Okay, what do you mean? Because it's just star racing?
I mean, is it multi-year as in Supercross this year and Supercross this year or and Motocross this year being two seasons? I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. It read a little funny to me.
And star racing can just clip you anyways just because they have some sort of top five provision in there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. Do you think he's done, though? Like, is this sort of a sneaky good signing?
It depends on which Michael Mosman shows up. It could be like signing of the year, realistically.
Okay. Yep.
I mean, if he shows up at Seattle and throws it on the podium, then we're all like, wow, that was a great job. But, you know, it can go either way. I mean, of course, that's super cliche and easy to say, but he's a very hot or cold guy. Like I said, mega talent, in my opinion, somebody that can really do damage, but just has to be the right guy that shows up.
Yeah. Well said. Okay, Triple Crown's coming up this weekend. Let me ask you about Kenny. So 19% less podiums at Triple Crowns than his career average. Now, he dominated them. I think it was Indy. He went 1-1-1, right? Was it Indy on a Honda? I think he went 1-1-1. He's dominated these, but generally speaking, he's got the greatest negative podium out of his career average, out of the top riders. Is it a recovery thing? Is it just short races? But no, because Kenny's good at the short races and the short bursts. Like, can you put any reason on why Kenny's Triple Crown, generally speaking, are worse?
I think, generally speaking, in the last couple of years, Kenny's starts haven't been quite as good. I'm totally spitballing there.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, you know, I feel like he could have won three or four mains this year if he got hole shots, but he doesn't. He starts fifth or sixth and gets the podium, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I don't think that, you know, you start fifth or sixth in a Triple Crown, you're probably going to get fifth or sixth. Like, it's harder to pass. Guys are more fired up. Guys are willing to go deeper just because it's shorter. If you're not first, second, or third in a Triple Crown, it's tough.
Yeah, and I guess on the flip side, Tomac, who doesn't get starts, I mean, he's better on the Yamaha, but when you go back to Triple Crowns, him and Okawi and even Yamaha, Eli's Triple Crown strats are great. And for whatever reason, Zacho, he gets starts at Triple Crowns when normally he doesn't. Like, go figure.
I cannot explain that.
Right. That's what I was saying. Like, can you explain this? No, you can't.
No.
Right. This is something I think that maybe is close to your heart a little bit. So we're at round 9, round 10 this weekend, 450 class. And AP and Jason Anderson are starting to not have the consistency that one needs. You were there. You've been there. It's hard. It's hard to fucking do it, huh, Zacho? It's hard.
It is. It's when you're doing great, it's easy to stay interested, stay keen. When the results start to wane a little bit, the work gets a little bit harder and things get a little bit more grindy and, you know, you're searching. That's when it starts to go a little sideways.
Mm-hmm.
Jason is an amazing rider, but I feel like he just gets a little bit like loss of interest. But I mean, at saying that, last weekend, he rode really, really good at the end of the race. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's actually been quietly way better than his results would show, in my opinion. He's just gotten terrible starts, and you can't do that right now.
Oh, he's crashed early. He's crashing the first lap or whatever.
Just dumb stuff. He's not in the front.
Yep.
At the beginning of the race.
Speaking of Triple Crowns, thanks to Nick at MX Reference, a guy that we have on Pulp doing our stats for us, Jason Anderson's laps led are a lot higher at Triple Crown races than normal.
Really?
Yeah. So he's led way more laps in Triple Crowns than normal.
Hmm.
Can you explain that, Zacho?
No, I cannot.
What the hell, man? You're the expert.
Yeah, I know. But and also, he's, you know, not notoriously a great starter. He's like a here and there starter.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess my Kenny theory is out the window. Thank you.
I just think when it comes to, like, even AP, right, didn't get to start this weekend, moved forward, but got eighth or seventh or something, and Jason's been way back. AP crashed at Daytona as well. And, like, I mean, I think Aaron has taken a step forward this year. We all agree, but
yeah, no doubt about that.
When it comes to titles and hanging around and hanging around, I think we don't appreciate the guys that can bring it every 7 days.
I do. I do for sure appreciate it. And I also, I said this the other day. I didn't quite, I knew that there was a lot of pressure every Saturday night. But I probably actually underestimated it because, man, especially in the 450 class, like 3 or 4 points is a mountain. Like, you got to beat a dude twice unless you win two races in a row, to make up 4 points, you know?
Right.
And that crap is hard. And those guys, Coop, Eli, the guys that race at the front, they show up every 7 days, like you said, and they shoulder that pressure, take it in the teeth, and go out there and do the damn thing. And it's freaking hard.
Yeah, right? It is tough, and you begin to appreciate it. Hey, when you were in your, like, 250 MX title hunts, did you back down your training and riding in the middle of the season? Did you – I mean, obviously it was Baker and all that, so
– I trained with Alden.
I know, but, like, did he back it down? Did you ever, like, be like, hey, man, I this grind is getting to me? I don't know. Did that happen?
Yeah, it happened, but not much changed. I mean,
okay.
We just did the same thing every week, pretty much. In 20, we took some time, some downtime when there was no schedule and stuff. But realistically, it wasn't really a thing.
Did
the job.
So yeah, just no adjusting for, the wear and tear as the weeks go on. No,
like on the off weekends, we wouldn't go back to 4 days a week, which we would do sometimes during Supercross.
Uh-huh.
Like if there was a race and an off weekend, we would do Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, then off weekend, and then Monday, Tuesday, Thursday the next week, which is the normal riding schedule, not many down adjustments. It was mostly up adjustments.
Exactly, right. I just remember, like, Timmy and Nick Way having a conversation when Nick was winding it down, and Red Dog was like, dude, as I got older, I did less. I did less off the bike. I rested more. Nick, this was foreign to Nick Way. He was like, what?
Yeah.
I bicycle more.
I definitely, I don't ride as often. Like, I ride 2, sometimes 3 times a week. And now I definitely feel like I could do that. But there was a time where I needed that stimulation to be on point every single day. If we missed a Monday, Tuesday was really tough for me because I had missed 2 days. I was off the bike for 2 days. Like, I mean, you just get into that routine and that repetition, and you just have to kind of carry on.
Sure. All right, we got some more phone calls for you. Our buddy Cade Clayson did have a question about why didn't the other guys in front of Deegan get penalized for going off track? And he's right. I was just thinking that maybe they literally saw Deegan pass some guys and the other guys didn't. I don't know.
Well, he did come around there, like, sliding wide open.
Yes, he definitely was very aggressive. He almost went into the mechanics area and killed some mechanics. I don't know. I don't think it's a Deegan thing, per se. All right, we got some more phone calls. Dan's on 3. What's up, Dan? What's your question for Zach Osborne?
What's up, guys? I got a couple things. First, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, but I didn't hear you give your boy T-Dags any credit for his third in XC2 at the Florida GNCC.
I don't think I did either. I think I did on Twitter. But not publicly, like on a show. Is that what you mean? I think I probably just forgot. But T-Dags is a legend, and Zacho knows T-Dags is a legend.
I hit him up after the GNCC because that was a gnarly effort. I was there. Yep. Race was freaking insane. It rained, and it was already a mess before it rained, and yeah, he's a beast.
So, Dan, that's probably my bad. He is a legend, and I apologize for slighting the great Tyler Medaglia.
Just because he's not from Alberta like you.
I'm from Manitoba. I'm from Manitoba. But
whatever, same thing.
Now, listen, I think I'm trying to get T-Dags to go to the Vet Destinations, Zacho, in Fox Hill.
Nice.
So are you in?
Depends if I'm racing or not.
Okay. What's the week after Ironman? You're fine.
No, it's not.
Oh, it is the week of Ironman. You're right. Damn it. Forgot. Okay. All right.
I think it's the week of the first SMX.
So. No, it's the week of Ironman.
Anyway.
All right. Go ahead, Dan.
All right. So I'm going to preface this by saying that I'm not a big fan of Jet. In fact, I kind of root for him to lose every weekend.
Okay.
But just watching him in Supercross, watching him all motocross last season, what do you guys think about the possibility of him going back-to-back undefeated seasons, barring any injury in moto this summer?
Sure. He was that good, right? But you think about, like, obviously Ricky did it twice, but like a first turn fall or you know, I don't know, like it seems so hard to do, Zacho.
Dude, last year I don't know that a first turn fall would have stopped it.
Okay, fair enough.
But also to that point, like DV said on Monday night, when his back's against the wall, it's a little bit of a different guy. Dude, if he can get a start and he can get in the lead and he can get enough gap to where he can see you out of the corner, like exiting the corner, he can do that pace. I'm confident he can do that pace for 40 laps on a supercross track. Like, dude doesn't even sweat. It's freaking ridiculous.
It's shocking he needs to, like when in Daytona, when he needed to get by Sexton and Tomac and he got their tail a little bit, or in Dallas when he needed to catch Webb after the fall. It's shocking how fast he can really go.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Dan, let's go 30%. 30% chance
30?
That he backs it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Zacho?
Would go like, is Eli racing or not?
I don't think so.
Yeah, probably.
Eli's out. It's got to be, that percentage has to go up because in moto, I don't see anybody, unless Chase finds something with this new bike, I don't see anybody giving him any issues. I mean, I watched him at High Point with Kenny hot on his tail, and I think Supercross, he might crack, but in moto, I don't see anybody giving him any issues. So as long as he stays upright, and, I mean, even if he doesn't, I think that there's a pretty high percentage that he could go back-to-back.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. I mean, he has proven to be slightly better outdoors. As amazing as he is indoors, he's slightly better outdoors, right? I think there's something to that. Dan, do you want a pair of 100% goggles or a Fly Racing 5 pivot knee guards?
Yeah, I'll take the knee guards.
All right, put you on hold. Thanks for calling, bud. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. Vertex Pistons as well, made over there in Italy. Premier choice for aftermarket pistons, gaskets, complete engine rebuild kits as well. Vertex is a member of the All Balls Racing Group. And please, for more information, go to allballsracinggroup.com. Vertex, precision equals performance. Great pistons. Manufactured in Italy. They're cast and forged, or both cast and forged. So please check out Vertex Pistons. Tom's on one. Tom, what's up? What's your question for Zach Osborne? Tom.
Oh, hey, Steve, I'm sorry. I thought I was going to go to you. I didn't know I was going to Zacho. Shoot.
or me, whatever. Either one. What's on your mind?
Hey, real quick, you know, a quick observation. I'm a lifelong MX fan here in South Florida. Got to see Timmy grow up and ride.
Lucky.
Dude. I was hoping to see him at Daytona. As a matter of fact, I got to say hello to you, shake your hand, and when my buddy and I walked away from you, we both laughed and said we thought hell had frozen over because we saw you at Daytona. So that
I was back this year. I had that sweet. Yeah.
You can't miss the best race of the season.
Oh,
obviously.
Jesus, Zacho.
Thank you, Zach. Hey, well, Steve, I'm going to go to my last question real quick. Any chance of a live show at your new favorite Supercross venue, the Daytona 2025?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I can't imagine the theaters and the rent and everything else involved in Daytona.
You can have it at my shop, dude.
There we go. We can have it at Zacho's shop. That'll work.
I'm in. I know there's a lot of guys we were talking about. We got a big group that we all sit together for the Supercross.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I wanted to call about real quick.
Okay.
I think Feld had two very serious issues. Obviously, the first one was everybody crossing the track.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when there's still competitors racing.
It's not really a Feld issue, though, is it?
Yeah, it's more Daytona, but okay, yeah.
Okay, but you know, yep, what I was thinking, I think the only difference was, and you know, you guys were both there and you saw that, I think that not having that side-by-side running up and down the front straightaway might have caused, made it a little bit more accessible to, sure, do something like that, because, you know, that thing's hauling ass back and forth, getting some really good video.
Yep.
And that was just, you know, and awesome. As we're watching this, we're sitting right at the start-finish line, yeah, and, you know, we're watching the people crossing the track, and that was kind of scary.
Yeah, you got to have a point there, yeah, yeah, so...
The other thing was,
I didn't think of that.
No, I didn't either.
When I was watching the start of the 450 main at Birmingham, my first thought when Jet and Coop split that 30-second card girl was, how quick was Feld firing off an email on where exactly she should be once, you know, the board goes sideways?
Yeah, and I can imagine the higher ups were just cringing on that one. I mean,
do you feel like it should have been red flagged, Steve, or no?
No, I don't think so.
I do.
Do you?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I could see the point of it being red flagged. I'm not saying that's a crazy take, you know.
Well, it was kind of ironic because Jet went to the left, Coop went or whatever, right and left, and then you got 20 more competitors,
yeah,
you know, and at that point they're pretty bunched up. So it was lucky that, you know, that it wasn't worse than it was.
Could have been worse. Yep, for sure.
Love your work.
Thanks, Tom.
Have a live show in 2025. We'll do it at Zach's place next year.
There we go.
Good.
Sounds good. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. Yeah, Zacho, I mean, I, if they would have thrown the red flag, I would understand that also, you know? So,
yeah.
All right, Pulp 30 is the code to save 100%, whether it's downhill mountain biking, BMX, MotoGP, MLB, snowboarding, skiing, or, of course, motocross. That Jet Lawrence guy wears 100% goggles. Pulp 30 is the code to save. Mountain bike stuff as well. I've got the casual wear. I've got socks. I got it all. San Diego-based company. 100% has always been synonymous with American motocross. So use the Pulp 30 code to save at 100%. Zacho, before I let you go here, I need your winners for the Triple Crown this weekend.
Wait, where's the out of the championship cutoff line in the 450 class?
That's funny you say that, because I was just going to ask Dan Truman, who's on the line, about that.
Oh,
so
really?
we can do this. Let's bring Dan in from Get and Athena. Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
We're good. So I think Tomac's out of this. I think he is 26 points down.
25.
And 26. I think 26. That's what I said. All right. So I think that's too much based on what I see from Tomac and what it's going on. So I just think Cooper Webb and Chase Sexton are the only guys that are going to have a shot at this kid. Zacho, what say you?
Yeah, I'm the same.
Dan?
I mean, there's 8 races left. That's a lot of races.
Okay.
That means if Eli has to win out and Jet gets second at every race.
Oh, here, don't do that math.
That's not going to happen. This isn't 0-3, Zach. This doesn't.
I know.
There's 9 guys that can get up there. I mean, I wouldn't say he's totally out of it yet. I think if Eli could click off a couple wins, and
yeah,
you know,
but what has he shown you to click off a couple wins? What is he? You know, like.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying I can't just be like, hey, man, go home. You're out.
Well, I'm not saying go home.
I'm not there yet. I'm not like, but do I think he wins the title? No.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say he's out of it.
Okay. Fair enough. All right.
He's on life support. Basically.
Okay. All right. Zacho, give us your winners this weekend.
Cooper Webb and Tom Vial for a 3-peat.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Zacho, heal up, man, from those broken ribs. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you. Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Please check them out at your local dealer. Thanks to the Fly Racing guys. Max Anstey. Now he can really let it go in his Fly Racing gear because he had a DNF, and now he's got nothing to lose. Mad Max does. Get and Athena. How's everything, Dan, at Get and Athena? We doing well?
We're very busy at Get and Athena, but we are doing very well. Just busy, which I can't complain about. We've taken on some new distributors. We have the whole new line of SX1 ECUs, which is based off of an OEM platform, CAN bus, ECU, and everything. So, you know, the new Triumph comes with the Get ECU on it. I think you did the test up at Gatorback.
Yeah, that was cool. And then they sell you another one for an aftermarket one, right?
Yeah, only because it needs to be locked. It's an OEM ECU, but it is our, you know, it's our ECU. But if you want to be able to map it and tune it and have an engine tuner like HD Development or whoever tune it, it has to be an aftermarket version of it.
Yeah, they showed us the stock one. They keep it real simple. Like Yamaha, you can adjust the values all across the range, low, mid, top. The Triumph guys are like, hey, man, we kept it simple. Sand, mud, hard-hitting, loam. There's 8 maps or whatever, you know, and everything's programmed in there. So they... Triumph tried to dummy it down even more. Stop.
Yeah, just preset maps. I think with the new bike and a lot of other changes and stuff, didn't want to give people too many options. Mm-hmm. Things could change in the future, but for right now, just having the preset maps seems to be the best scenario.
Yeah, and then, hey, so obviously a couple years ago, you guys came on with HRC guys and won titles. And, you know, whether it's the data logger, whether it's the ECUs on the 250 side, whether it is the start devices, start maps, the red light RPM dashboard, has that translated to people being like, hey, man, I need Jet because Jet has one and Hunter has one? Like, is that
work? Yeah, I mean, I think it's more brand awareness than anything.
Yep.
I think more people see it, more people believe that, okay, Honda's one of the premier teams, and if they're using the product, then... and we're coming OE on brands, not only Triumph, but other brands, you know, Sherco and other brands that maybe aren't as popular, that maybe the product is really good. So I think more brand awareness than anything. I do have a few people that call and say, hey, I just want the light that Jet or Hunter has, and they don't even know what it does. But I would say those are a lot smaller. I think more so getting some of these engine tuners that are willing to change over from whatever they're currently using, whether it's, you know, one of our competitors or just mapping stock ECUs. So, yes, I think for sure the transition with Honda has helped sales, but I haven't seen, like, Honda ECU sales spike, you know, crazy or something like that.
Okay, fair enough. All right, let's get into the Triple Crown Indy this weekend. Actually, let me back up. Mosman thoughts. Mosman signing by Star thoughts from you, Dan. Is he done? Can he get it back? Like, what's going on? Multi-year deal at Star?
Yeah, it's strange. Obviously, we had all heard that Mosman went there, you know, months ago back, you know, before San Diego. I think he started with Star, and I think he had a little bit of an issue with a back issue or something like that, and then I had heard he was just riding the bike, and now it sounds like he's going to race Seattle. I'm not surprised. Bobby is always willing to just get the guy, and I mean, out of anybody that's maybe available, he went and got Enzo. That didn't work out. I think Enzo has a hand injury or something that, you know, we've all heard about. I think Mosman has speed. I mean, for sure. You look at this 250 class, guys like Hampshire and Smith and Thrasher, these guys that are kind of vets now, I think Mosman could be one of those guys next year. I don't see him jumping into Seattle and being on the box or anything like that. I mean, I haven't seen him ride, but I mean, I think he's a 5th to 7th place guy the rest of this year in Supercross, and then next year he could be really good.
All right, we still got the Fly Racing Pivot knee guards, right? He took the goggles? Oh, he took the knee guards. We got the goggles. 100% goggles up for available for a caller, 702-586-PULP. Give us a call. Give you a set of 100% goggles, perhaps. Dan, what... I saw you commented on Instagram. Villeman was going through the field in 1999, and then, of course, the field this past weekend. And although that's a bit skewed, and I said that on the show, because he picked A1 99 versus round 9, 2024. So we're missing Hunter, we're missing Craig. It's a bit skewed, and he acknowledged that. But that was his point, was it was more stacked then. DV has always held on to this. He hates it when we talk about most stacked field ever, even though at times Wygant and Lee and RC and James are simply trying to sell the series when they say that. But DV does get a little pissed about this.
Yeah, I mean, I did some stats back to 1993 where McGrath turned, you know, basically his 250 career and past champions. I mean, race wins is one thing. A lot of guys have race wins. There was 15 past champions in 1999 that lined up for that race. And later in the year, Denny Stevenson raced, who had a regional title, and there was a few other guys that Nathan Ramsey lined up at a race that had a regional title. So, you know, you could say 16, 17 past champions. My point in the comment that I made was, yes, it was really stacked back then, but a lot of them were just regional winners. Not that that's anything wrong with that, but this year there's 8 450 guys that have 450 championships that lined up at A1. That was just my argument. Whether it's more stacked or not, I don't think it's more stacked, but I do think some people sent me some clips from the show. I didn't listen, but I do think the guys are fitter now. The bikes are better, everything like that. So I think the racing is a little bit more competitive where you were at Factory Yamaha during those days, during that era. Like, your guys' bikes were superior to a lot of the other bikes, right? Like,
yeah. I think everything evolves. Bikes, training, riding techniques, they all evolve.
Yeah, I'm not saying that Larry Ward wasn't, you know, great or whatever, and we know his name, but, I mean, to say Grant Harlan's not great, I mean, he's as good as Larry Ward in my eyes. I mean, he hasn't won a 450 main, but, I mean, he was national number 23. Like, maybe that's not fair, actually. Larry Ward was good.
That one's a little bit,
you're wrong. I'm wrong on that. I'm just saying he starts from the bottom of the list at round 9, going with John Short and Harlan and stuff like that, and I don't agree with that. Hunter was missing. Dean Wilson's a past outdoor champion. He was missing. Christian Craig's missing. There are a number of guys missing from the list.
Yeah, actually, I didn't even bring up Dino. I should have brought up Dino.
Yeah, I mean, he was a national champion.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, I look, I'm old school. I like the old stuff. I'm not like one of those guys that, you know. I guess I am the guy that yells at clouds sometimes. But I got to give the guys today tons of respect, like, you know. And so that leads me to my next dumb argument we had, Dan. I told DV, look, if you teleported Kyle Chisholm with his bike right now to, like, 98, he would win. And DV got really mad at me. I thought he was going to punch me. Then he kind of agreed with me by the end because I said, dude, look at the starts. Look at the whoops. Look at, like, I said, DV, you guys got wheel spin out of turns and you had to back it down. You couldn't triple in because you got some wheel spin or you didn't hit the corner right. Chiz could stop and hit that triple in 99, you know, on his bike. And so, like, yeah, I just, that's just, these guys are better now.
Yeah, but they don't know shit.
I don't disagree with you. I mean, there was a year where Chiz got some fourths and fifths. Remember L&M, you know, with Regal in those years? It just depends on the year. Right now, Anaheim 1 was a stacked field, right? It was only missing Nichols, really, for the most part. Hunter didn't even make the main event. Justin Cooper missed the main round, too. Like, I don't want to say stacked ever, but most champions to line up, you know?
Yeah.
There's been some stacked years, but, I mean, there were some years where there was just three or four guys, really, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. If Chiz goes into a time machine, a DeLorean, how far back does he have to go to win?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe you're not wrong, 98. I mean, I don't think he wins that 99 Anaheim 1. Lusk and them guys were good.
Okay.
Like, I don't know.
All right, so you're not – I'm just thinking the bike. Chiz is awesome.
Yeah,
the bike
was good, but the tracks were different. And yeah, okay. I mean, there's just too much.
All right, okay. Dan's not having this.
I'm not sold on it. I mean, I'm not sold on it.
Okay, Triple Crown this weekend. And Jet Lawrence looks pretty good, two in a row. And you had told me at Birmingham, Dan, when we talked in the pits, you're like, oh, we got something in the main event. Obviously, you're working closely with Jet. And he did try it, the quad and the rhythm after the finish. He did try it and came a bit short. But did he do it again clean?
No, he never did it. When I talked to you before the main event, obviously I was able to tell you that because no one could find out then. You know, you couldn't tweet that, and then no one has Twitter on the line, so we were good there at that point because I don't really trust you, you know. just kidding. We looked at that line on video and thought it was doable if they had cleaned up the track.
Uh-huh.
You know, if he really needed it, I think he could have went for it some more.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't necessarily need it, I guess you could say, you know, just what the way the main event played out, but... Yeah, he tried it the one time. He didn't make it. But, yeah, I think you could have went even outside. Kenny was doing it in practice, going three on to that
three
table.
Three on, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and going either three on or maybe all the way over, and then just getting into a different lane than where the ruts were was kind of the plan.
Yep.
So if he was able to go four there, he would have been able to three into the turn, which would have been a massive line. He didn't make it, didn't really need to try it again. I was surprised that he even did pull it out, but – there was a press conference a few weeks ago, and I think Jason Anderson was asked about some quads and stuff like that. And these guys come back after practice, and they're like, man, I hope no one jumps that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're like, because I think with these bikes and going back to the bikes from the years past, in the early days, you know, there was everything they had to make these jumps, where now there's so much power. I think there's jumps every weekend that guys could jump. Like if they were on a practice track, they could probably jump them, no problem. But
Hardy would try it. Hardy could try it.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at like the layout. I think the Star Yamaha guys or MTF has the replica of Detroit maybe or something, and they were quadding in that rhythm. And I mean, the distances are the same, but they didn't do it in the race. Obviously, the ruts get formed different and things like that. So, he tried it just to try it and didn't make it. So
Kenny told me he thought that triple on would become the race line when the track was better, but I don't believe it ever happened. You know, I don't think it ever worked. So
and we talked to the track crew about it and asking if they were going to build a berm at all, because we weren't sure, because we knew they had extra dirt. And we think that if there would have been a little bit of a berm, it could have become the race line, but it was just such a flat turn, and it rutted up. And you seen where Hymus and Sol got into it a little bit. Like, you just couldn't really go out there. Someone would come inside of you and push you out of the line.
So. Speaking of Jet, do you have some VIP spots available for upcoming races?
Yeah, we do. We're The East Coast rounds filled up pretty quick, so we do a Friday and a Saturday, but we do have some spots available. You can go to feldexperiences.com and click on those, whatever events it shows that you can still buy tickets for, we have available. But, yeah, like the Nashville Indy this weekend, you know, we're 20 people, which is what our max is for Indy.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's been great. It's obviously, like I talked to you about it last week, you came by and had some coffee and, you know, some races are hit or miss. Weather's tough. Today, weather in Indy's not good. Tomorrow's not good either, it looks like. But at least we have a dome, so that's
good.
Can you
get me the right creamer this week? I'll come by. But
I did. I got you cold creamer. Truck driver got that.
Oh, I'm coming by.
I know you don't love Buca di Beppo, but we're Buca di Beppo both Friday and Saturday this week.
Yeah, so. I mean, I'll search around for something better, but if I can't, I'll be by.
Okay, perfect.
All right, PlumCreekFunding.com. Zach over there has done a lot of people in the industry, and he's helped them out. If you're a first-time buyer or investor, a vacation home, Plum Creek Funding has programs to suit your needs. If you already own a home, if you've got a vacation home like Dan, please check out Zach Morris, Z-A-C-H, at PlumCreekFunding.com. Rates have dropped. And maybe now is the time. Refinance, get into it, whatever. Zulesbagco.com. Our guy Chad Zulian doing great things. Zules are the official bag of the Triumph guys and Ford Performance as well, and Pastrana, Carry Hart, and more. Use the code PULP24 at Zules, ZULZBagco.com, to save with Zules. Thank you to them. They got you covered. Backpacks, travel roller bags, gear bags, and more. All right, Dan, we have an ECU question on one for you. It is Chance. I don't think it's Chance Hymus, but Chance, well, what's your question for Dan?
No, I've got a 2023 KTM 300 XC, and I was just wondering if they're going to come out with any kind of ECU stuff.
Yep, we have it available.
It's out now.
Right.
Yeah, it's out now. It came out about a month ago. We did the 125 and the 250 first, but the 300 is available. Actually, Paul Parabinos, one of our friends, just got one for one of his buddies. Yeah, it comes with two maps. It's fully programmable with the Wi-Fi comm, all that stuff. Comes with a map switch, and yeah, we have them in stock.
Cool. So yeah, if you want a deal, email me using the contact form at pulpmx.com. I'll pass it on to the get ECU guys, and they'll give you a deal, Chance.
All right. Thank you very much.
Cool. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. We gave the goggles away already, the 100% goggles. Somebody just called and gave Marks a sob story, and he we still have them? Oh, he doesn't want
them. Yeah, sorry. The guy accidentally hung up, and he never called back, so they're still available.
All right, Lucio, you want a pair of 100% goggles?
Yeah, why not? Let's run it.
All right, Lucio gets the goggles. You got a question about Enzo as well, right?
Yes. So Enzo's been hurt. He doesn't look like he's going to race Supercross at all this year. Mm-hmm. He only signed a one-year deal, you know, basically gambling on himself.
Yeah.
And since Star has $1 billion and they signed Mosman, does this hurt Lopes' chance to come back?
I would think so, Dan, right?
I don't know, man. I have no idea how Star does it. They have so many riders. You know, you got to remember, they still have Styles Robinson too, right? Like Styles, you know, two podiums the last 2 years and some injuries. So, yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
Can you imagine being their ECU sponsor, a handlebar sponsor, a sprocket sponsor?
I mean, we've sponsored Star for a long time, and we've still talked to him, you know, recently about stuff, and it's just the numbers of product are just they're so big. It just doesn't even make sense from our standpoint.
Yeah.
I got two more things, one for Dan and one more for Steve.
Okay, go ahead.
So, Steve, can you let Enzo know we need an update in English when he does his stories on Instagram? Like, don't want to be a hater, but can't understand Brazilian.
Yep.
And then Dan, like, if the point chase is a lot closer and we're coming down to the wire, does the fan experience still happen with Jet? Obviously, Hunter's not there, but, I mean, you got to hope you want him to lock in and not be, you know, pulled left and right. And when the points are so close, like, does this fan experience still happen?
100%. So this was talked about preseason. You know, I was actually really surprised. Jet hurt his thumb at San Diego. I mean, some people kind of knew it was an injury, and I was very surprised. He still came over. He still did it. But to be fair, that's kind of what makes Jet, is he wants to do that stuff. He does enjoy it. I don't think one thing will change. And I think Hunter's getting better very fast. So Hunter will be back as well.
He'll be back soon is what you're thinking? Cool.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right, Lucio, stay on hold, all right? You win the 100% goggles.
Thank you.
All right, no problem, man. Appreciate it. Bonzi has a Bonzi. Bonzi, you got a rant?
Yeah, hey, guys. Yeah, I got a rant about Triple Crowns.
Yeah.
It's like a three-parter here, so hear me out. First thing,
they're motos. They're called motos. If there's three or if there's 30, I think they're called motos. Sometimes RC calls them rounds. You yeah. wanted to maybe call them gangbangs. I think they should be called motos.
Okay, period. Fair enough. Just yeah, like something. Can we call them something? That's all my point is. Yeah. And that's why I started calling them gangbangs, because no one was calling them anything, and it's ridiculous.
No, for sure. For sure. All right. Part two is, I think the third one is just stupid, having three. My best example of this is back when at Glendale, AC was just racing for position hard, went down in the whoops, went over the bars, hurt his back, and he could have lost four positions and maintained the same overall. Everything else would have been the same. It was practically completely irrelevant, and he kind of hurt himself racing for a spot that just didn't matter at all.
That is the drawback, right, of these Triple Crowns. These guys cruise. Yeah, it's a drawback. But, I mean, what about the positives of them, you know?
Yeah, no, they're good. So then to add to the third part here is, I think we should just do it like outdoors. I think that would save a bunch of wear and tear on the track if people were just
Two motos. Okay.
You there's no qualifiers. You just, your practice time is what decides the top 40 or whatever. Be top whatever. And then LCQ to get into the night show. I think that would save the track a bit.
Okay.
And they would just do whatever. It's 15 minutes for the forfeit, whatever, you know. And then maybe even points for each one. I don't know.
Okay.
That way you still get a lot of the premier racers on the track. You get a lot of racing. All of the racing matters. All of it.
It's great. It's a great race tech rant. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, there's, as a fan, I have heard from a lot of fans and VIPs that they love the Triple Crowns, right? From an employee standpoint, I know JT's voiced his opinion. From a mechanic side, it's a lot of work, short a period of time. I'm not against the two-moto format style. You'd have to come – giving points out for a very short race, though, I think is tough. So I think you'd still have to go Olympic-style scoring, like a 2-1 beats a 1-2 instead of 25-22. Yeah. You know, it's just a lot of points for one weekend. You know, you have one crash and, you know, you go 8-8 and you lose so many points. So I don't know. There's a lot to take into consideration. But right now we only have a couple of them a year, and I think they're good. They're good for the fans.
Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, one last thing, if you will.
All right. Quickly.
All right, the last thing. Ban the freaking start hole shot devices for your LCQ. Get rid of them. Use them as a handicap. They're just dangerous. Get them the hell out of racing.
Okay.
And you have the power for your race.
For my race.
I don't know.
All right.
Just,
I feel like like I could do that, and then somebody would cheat, and I would catch it, and then everyone would get mad.
Yeah. Yeah. So
there's always ways. Like,
thanks, man.
We have to... I've seen tweets and stuff. Oh, ban the hole shot devices. The start will be. I mean, but we're not having huge pileups every first turn. I mean, the Deegan and Hammaker thing's one thing. Detroit is kind of a 90 first turn, but it's not like the first turn's really not where we're having all these injuries or anything. You know,
I would still get rid of the grates and. You can't stop the technology.
Yeah,
but yeah.
I know. I get it, but take away this hole shot device. We're going to find something else, right? We'll figure something out. We'll put something inside the fork. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Seat Concepts, Pulpamex 24. Seat Concepts, saving asses since 2009, whether you're hitting at the motocross track or gearing up for a trek across the country. Seat Concepts has you covered with covers, complete seats, height, various height and width profiles. So if you look, all things seats, Seat Concepts. Pulpamex 24 is a code to save with Seat Concepts. So check that out. Dan, real quickly before we wrap, I did a Privateer podcast with Gage Linville this week. Georgia kid. He rides at the Lawrence's place. He's been a real good surprise. Like, he's total Privateer. All four main events he's made. He's creeping up a little bit. Nice kid. And working with Yogi. So, yeah, nice kid. And I think the Lawrence thing and Yogi has really taken his game to a new level.
Yeah, Gage is awesome. You know, him and his dad reached out to me last year, and we kind of had some spots to fill. And everybody at our place, we kind of handpicked just so everybody gets along. And I knew good things about Gage, and he wanted to elevate his game a little bit. He's made every main out of the heat races, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, hasn't had to go to LCQ. He's a hard worker, man. He's always a thank you, you know, yes, sir. Like, never causes a problem. It's cool. Yogi comes down for a week at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's every 3 weeks Yogi comes for a week. And, he hangs out. They do their thing. You know, our training facilities run a little bit different where we don't, you know, you don't have to do our program or anyone's program, but they all ride together. You know, he rides with Chance and Drew Adams and Jet and Hunter and everybody. So Great kid. Yeah. I'm happy to see him going. I think the goal is to get closer to that top 10. He just needs a little bit more speed. He's kind of just like steady Eddie right now, so working on getting him a little bit more speed.
Yeah, he said him and Drew are really good partners out there, and Chance is, you know, a good chase, a good guy to chase.
Yep.
So,
yep, for sure.
All right, Dan, Triple Crown, Indy, give me your winners.
I'm going to go with Jet Lawrence. I'm going to ride this this hot streak. Yep. He was pretty good at A2. Had a lot of drama coming in that week, and then he fell on that last lap, and Coop got that overall regardless. Mm-hmm. But Coop's very good at Indy, too, so I see a Coop and Jet battle again. But I'll take Jet in that. And then I like what Zacho said about Tom Vial.
Mm-hmm.
Like to see more out of some traditional whoops, and Tom said it himself in an interview. So he's won Daytona, and he won a race that didn't really have whoops. But his starts are so good, and I'm going to ride the confidence train and go Tom Vial.
Yeah, and you did pick Tom Vial in Pulp Fantasy or FFL. Stamp that.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Stamp that. All right, and we got a Pierce Brown jersey up for grabs for Pulp Mix Fantasy also. So he's been really well.
And Pierce has been awesome too. You know, three-fifths and a fourth. He's 1 point out of the championship. It's a lot more conservative Pierce than we've seen in years past. But, man, if he doesn't get a start, he's just got to start inside the top five, I think, and he's fine.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, buddy. Well, thanks thanks for coming by. Thanks for calling in. I will be by to see some get some creamer, coffee, and all that this weekend.
Do you like a specific creamer, French vanilla? Or?
I told you I like hazelnut.
You're a hazelnut guy. We got them all. So didn't know which one to get, so he just picked the selection from Sam's Club.
Oh, okay. So we do have – is it the Minute Maid stuff, or what is it?
It's the it's the cold ones with the little cap on the top. I don't know. He sent me a picture of it. I'll send it to you. They're good. I promise.
All right, Dan. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll see you this weekend.
All right, see you.
That's Dan Truman, everybody. Fly Racing Moto 60 Show. Thank you to Zach as well. Hey, Marks, great job.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, I think this is one of the finer performances of any employee on the Moto 60 show.
Last week's was a shit show.
Last week wasn't great.
He blames you.
That's fine. But I came and did both jobs perfectly.
You did.
You wouldn't even know there was only one person
here. You would not know that, except I'm very angry still. Fly Racing Moto 60, 100% Decal Works, Get, Maxxis, Vertex, Zuels, Seat Concepts, Plum Creek Funding, all on board with us. Thanks for watching and listening. And, see you next week, everybody.